I have added you. Jack DePalma, go ahead.
You have her legal name. You don't have to...
Excuse me. You're not Jack DePalma. Jack DePalma has the floor. Jack DePalma, please go ahead with your question.
You keep doing something that's not acceptable.
To you! To everybody else, it's okay!
All right, Jack, please don't answer this. Don't answer this. Please just go on with your question. Let's keep the meeting going.
My comment is very simple. Ms. Joyce, the volunteers that are on this phone that have knowledge about financial issues are not the paid employees of the radio station. Mr. R. Paul, Mr. Gene Sagerton, Noel, I believe, as well, and myself, not that I have any financial background, but we are volunteering to oversee what the general manager is doing. We volunteer. Now, I just want to point out something very significant. The volunteer staff that used to work at WBAI still includes people that still volunteer to support WBAI, but we don't answer telephone calls at the radio station like we might have done 10 years ago on Wall Street. Two reasons why. Reason one, they were unreliable. They took down bad information that couldn't be followed through to get a premium or collect the money or to send the premium, the addresses. I worked in the volunteering of trying to fulfill premiums for a few years on Wall Street, and I noticed when I answered the phone calls, many times people did not respect the second issue, which is this is proprietary information. People give you your financial information on a credit card. Now, I don't know about you, Ms. Joyce, but I know about me. If I call up the radio station, I don't want somebody getting my financial information and then using it to buy something privately on their own off to the side. Volunteers can be unreliable. The second point, the people that are on this phone
call... Point of order.
There's a point of order? What is that?
The point of order is that the member should not be addressing and certainly should not be naming other persons participating in the meeting.
I am a volunteer. I'm talking about myself.
I am not
People are disagreeing with each other, and, you know, I would hope we would keep this to a minimum, but he's addressing... Okay. We can't all talk at once. So right now, the chair has the floor, please. And we, right now, he's addressing an issue brought up by a member, and he's naming the member because he wants to make sure everybody knows whom he's talking about and make sure that member hears him. That's my interpretation of that, and that's not a bad thing. It's not, you know, name-calling or anything, which some people try. And I think that's valid. I don't think he's out of order. And Jack DePalma, please continue with your point.
I think he's out of order when he misquotes someone. I didn't say to take the credit card number. I said
who's
to take the person. This is Denise Joyce. I think he just said my name. I didn't say for him to take, for a volunteer to take anyone's credit card number. I didn't say that at all.
Jack DePalma, would you please continue?
To the person that was speaking of this issue before, in the past, volunteer names and information has been removed from the call-in center. I was volunteering and saw the people in the call-in center fail to get proper information to follow up on the donations they made to the radio station. Point of information. That's all I'm trying to share. The next point I would just make is that I have to calm down. I'm very excited about I think that people really should remember that when these numbers are brought forth, they're not brought forth to be opinionated about. And I'm not going to use names, but I'm going to tell you that I printed out the spreadsheet, the month-by-month monies, and it's four pages wide and four pages deep. That's 16 pages. And I really think that it's very hard for anybody, including people that have financial understanding, to look at these spreadsheets and really understand it. So when a question is specifically asked of the management and the idea that there were underpaid employees, the idea that there were contracts that were renegotiated, obligated and had to be fulfilled. And the idea that the general manager has to come up with numbers from a spreadsheet that has many numbers on it, and then, you know, we're expecting him to stand and deliver is very, very unfortunate. I think that I'm respectfully understanding that I'm listening to people, and I think those people have to respectfully understand that the general manager, if he needs help with financial concerns, has many volunteers that have much financial understanding and have looked at these papers carefully and correctly, and they've paid attention to these papers over months, over years. Now, I respect some of the callers on the radio, on the telephone call here, are just like me. I'm listening to voices coming out of my telephone, and I want to hear one voice talk about one thing specifically so I could focus on it, and that would be better for all of us. Thank you very much, Art Paul, and thank you very much for...
Okay. The next person on the stack is James Sagerton. Go ahead, James Sagerton.
Mario, to the stack, please.
Thank you, Chair. I have two questions. One of them is really quick and simple, and I'll give them both to you at the same time. I want to know if the new Allegiance system generates automatic renewal notices for people whose membership has expired. That question was prompted by the person who spoke about her BAI buddy lapsing and not being picked back up again. I think Allegiance does do that, and I just want to ask if that's true, and if so, how is that going? And the second question is, I think this is something that's been discussed over time, but I just want to ask again about consultants. There are people out there who will, for a certain fee, set up a fundraising appeal for you and do the work of raising money. And I think there are legal questions about raising money and giving someone a percentage of what they raise. But I know that there are people who contract to conduct fundraisers. Have you done a recent comparison, or I imagine you may keep aware of what goes on in this market. What's your current sense of what's out there in terms of comparing the cost of that to the cost of the consultants that we use? I noticed you mentioned a percentage of return on the Christine Blasdale expenses. Is it similar to that, or is it more or less than that, or are you aware?
Bills. They need to provide a bill for service. It's not
I think
profit.
This question is directed to the general manager.
All right,
I don't know who's talking here. That isn't Bertolt.
Invoice.
Hello?
And if there is not an invoice.
Who is this?
That's
please allow Bertolt Reimers to reply to the question. Okay, Bertolt, go ahead.
Okay, so the first question was, again, can you summarize that quickly?
Because Allegiance automatically remind people to renew when their membership is up.
Yeah, the previous system did also, but it was cumbersome, and this system is easier for our webmaster to run the report, and we're working out the kinks of having this done automatically, be sent to them automatically, but we can definitely print the report also. So, but it's still not something that I can just go and run. It's being managed by the webmaster. That's one. The second one is, WBI is not exactly functioning, has never functioned as a real pro-union entity, you know, because we could not afford to, you know, to pay full staff and to pay our staff the money they deserve. Like me, I'm not getting paid what I deserve. And the board apps, that's my opinion. Let me finish. Nor the board apps or anyone else at BAI. So that's a fact of life. So now having a consultant, consulting with a company, a consultant to do a task, where they're not really going to get health benefits because the consultant, and a lot of them do not need it because they already have it with someone else, is saving us a lot. And we could not function without the consultant, and we could not function if we replace the consultant by, duly paid employees for full salary. We can barely make the $22,000 every 15 days of the month that we have to make payroll.
Kim, may I redirect my question? I think you missed my second question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Bertol, what I was really asking you was whether or not the consultants we're using to generate the funds, you know, specifically Christine Blasdale, for example, and the rate of return that she gets for us at the price that she's getting it for us, how does that compare to the price of some party out there that might contract to do fundraisers for organizations like ours? And, you know, they may use all kinds of things to do it. But there are people out there who offer to raise funds for organizations. So how does our current system of using consultants to bring us premiums compare, and the return we get on that, compare to what you would get if you were going outside to an outside contractor and having them come up with a fundraising campaign that, who knows, might even have components that we aren't based on?
I don't have specific numbers with me, but I cannot imagine an average of 407% return on investment. In other words, every dollar you spend, you're getting 400 back. That's basically what that is. So 407% return on investment on the average on this individual, 285% on Christine Blasdale, and 430% on Tony Bates. I cannot imagine anywhere else this is happening. I mean, if that's the case, let me know. I'll go get that myself for me personally. There's like return on investment is usually like, 2%, 1-2, maybe. So also, I just wanted to confirm that retro payment based on 3% union increase going back to April 1st, 2020, and then another 4% increase on April 1st, 2021, which was catching up, plus a few other adjustments of payments added up. This is a quick check right now, added up to $16,000 plus $622 plus $9,600 is $31,600 of straight cash we had to pay this past year to our staff as far as retro adjustment. I mean, I'm still looking for more, but I mean, that can give you an idea of, you know, why I'm projecting, under-projecting for next year.
Okay. I think that was it. And we have somebody else next, but I just remembered the other part of the question, the answer, or whatever the hell I have, and I want to say it here. We do have an issue with consultants and their legality. The difference between a W-2 and a 1099 is part of the issue here. And the thing is, if you have people, I'm not going to go into the full legal thing. I've had to do this on both sides of it. And WBAI has had a problem with what's called de facto employees for decades. It's there, and we've brought it up. One of the very early finance committee meetings back in 2004 got sort of concerned about this because, the then bookkeeper was pointing out, yeah, this stuff is not so good. I don't know what to do about it. Management is going to do these, you know, is going to have people on as consultants when, at least in some cases, certainly the argument could be made that the person is a de facto employee. The consequences of a de facto employee could be that the NLRB or other labor governmental entity regarding labor will say, hey, look what you're doing there, including, by the way, the IRS could say, hey, this is illegal, and BAI could face fines and big retro payments, and so that could be an issue. Again, I don't know what to do about it because, as the general manager says, he can't afford to pay people, and I wish management would find a way out of this, but it's not a new issue. Okay. The next person on the...
Can I answer you up with a question?
Okay, Bertold, you want to answer that? I mean,
yeah.
You know.
With a question. I think that 99.5% of our consultants, some of them, like a chunk of them, are consulting with other people also, and then others have a job. So WBI is like a side hustle. Like, I mean, as a consultant, it's not the job. That, like, that's something they do on the side. So I believe that also it helps with the legalities. I'm not sure, but maybe you know. I think I did ask NERA HR about that. That, you know, but I don't know if you know anything about that.
Yeah, I do know a little bit about that because, as I said, I've been on both sides of this. What you've cited there is nice, and no, it's totally irrelevant if the federal or even local agencies decide to step in. You know, is the person, you know, contracting and doing it themselves and going somewhere and doing it? Or does a person come into WBAI and use WBAI's facilities and produce product? Well, there you go. Just about everybody comes in and does that. Or if they're doing something where they're home and doing it, you know, there are also questions there. But anyway, it's an old issue. I don't have a solution for it. I'm not going to suggest a solution for it. And we have another person. The next person on the stack is Laura L. Wiggins. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I would like to say just this. I have announced my name as L. I would appreciate it if you would address me as such. If you need legal documents or you need to say my name in a legal manner, please do so, because we understand that. I understand that. But if you're referring to me, please just refer to me as L. Thank you.
Okay.
Or Paul,
in answer to this, let me just say that there are people talking. I'm trying to answer the member, and please let me answer the member. I've already said that really I need to address people by their names. There are some reasons for this, but I'm just saying I'm going to do that. All right? I'm going to use people's names. People can, you know, call themselves whatever they please, but I have to call people by their names, and that's going to be it. So I'm sorry if that offends you, but
add on the stack,
there we go.
Please.
So do you have
like
a question or comment for the general manager? Because this is supposed to be about the budget.
Legal name. You're out of
order. Okay. Ms. Hawkins, stop it. You do not have the floor.
Security.
Okay. I'd like to be added to the stack, please.
Who's this?
Noel Jameson, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, you're on this. You'll be on the stack. Okay. Ms. Wiggins, you have the floor.
Unbelievable. Noel is referring to a question that was previously asked in regards to retro pay. I wasn't too clear on the answer given by the general manager, and I would just like to know, and from what has been said, I gather that the union has negotiated contracts for your employees for a state number of years, a set number of years. Now, whatever percentage of their salaries that is going to be agreed upon for that particular period of time in a particular manner in which they have agreed upon in their what is it, memorandum of agreement, and they finally signed that bind. Now, part-timers may at times have certain advantages and disadvantages because of the number of hours that they work. So when you say that part-timers get retroactive monies because of, I guess, increase in salaries.
Can I stop you there because you are wrong? I never said that. I said the employees. I never said the part-timers.
Bertold, please let her complete her question.
Sorry.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you, because it causes me to lose my concentration. So when you spoke of retroactive for part-timers and having to go to a different amount, the increased amount, I'm wondering, because your part-timers, do they get full benefit for medical and, you know, various things that part-timers normally don't get benefit for?
Time.
That's the question. And Berthold, you're the general manager.
Time.
Excuse me? Who's that?
Okay. Time is being called.
Oh, I didn't know that there was...
Okay, hold on 1 second. Could we let... Could we just let her
finish and then we'll let her finish and
exactly.
Get the answer and then
okay. When this is done, please call time again and we'll deal with the time. Okay.
Okay.
Please continue.
Berthold, and I'll try to be brief. Berthold, I'd like to know, general manager. I understand you basically have the knowledge or the ability to do many things. A finance officer. And dealing with contracts and lawyers, okay, that's your specialty. Labor,
what?
Relation. What are your, and I'm not trying to be condescending, I just would like to know, because I don't know who, I mean, I know your name, but I don't know, I know your position, but I don't know what weight you carry that basically says that you're able to negotiate and do what you do. I know you have a group of people that will advise you, which I would call your committee. But normally, you know, that is presented and they brief you, and when you come forth to represent and give the information, if you don't have answer to a question, you would refer to them. So, question, what are your qualifications to make you, you know, basically the head finance officer?
Well, I am glad. Okay. The chair's coming in, and the chair is ruling that out of order. This is a personnel issue. This is the local finance committee meeting, and we can't, we cannot get into personnel issues and justify your job kind of things. This could get us into actual legal trouble. So I'm going to rule that question out of order. The general manager should not try to answer any of that. There is a general manager. We have to accept that. And with that, I will have to say that time was called, and so we need to decide what we're going to do. Is there maybe a motion to extend the time for this item?
Excuse me, but Berthold did not comment on the first part of my question.
All right.
Was in
well, hold on a minute. Let's see if we're going to extend, and then he can deal with the first part of your question, okay?
Thank you.
All right. So, is there a motion to extend the time for this meeting, for this item, rather?
It should be at least 30 minutes.
Point of information.
Is this about a motion to extend?
Yes, I have a point of information.
Yes, what is the point of information?
How many people are on the stack?
I have, let me go back. 1, 2, 3.
I move to extend 15 minutes.
I move to amend that to extend for 4 minutes.
Hold on a second.
You know, I didn't even get an answer to my question.
Okay, we have a motion to extend the time for this item by 15 minutes, and we have an amendment to make it 4 minutes. Okay, this is not a debatable thing, so we go right to a... Is there any objection to making it 4 minutes?
Yes, there's
okay,
three
so
people
there
on the
objection
stack.
To making it 4 minutes, and so we will go to a vote on this particular thing here. And, okay, there's an amendment to make it, instead of 15 minutes, make it 4 minutes. And, of course, this is a roll call vote, since I can't see your hands in the air.
May
okay, please
question?
Answer up when you hear your name.
May I ask a question, please?
I've started a vote.
Well, it's about the vote.
Yeah, well, right now we're doing a vote, and really I'm not going to stop for this. Come on. Jack DePalma.
Mr. Martin, you
no.
haven't started calling the roll. My
Ms. Roberts,
I'm reasonable. Go ahead. Do it the long way, dear. Go ahead.
Yeah, why don't we do it the right way?
Take your
Jack DePalma.
If people would ask questions.
No. No speeches. Is it, do you want to vote to amend it to
no.
be 4 minutes?
Yeah, no.
No.
We're wasting
okay.
time. We're
next.
Time.
William Heerwagon.
I heard 15 minutes.
The amendment is to make it 4 minutes. That's what we're voting on now.
Well, the first person to amend said 15. How do we get
no.
more?
No. We're voting on 4 minutes. Do you want to make it 4 minutes instead of 15 minutes? This is an amendment.
Your homework there, Bill. Pay attention.
Oh, don't,
not
let's not
minutes.
Go sniping back and forth at each other. That will not make
it's
the
not
meeting
back
better.
And forth. It's been in one direction all night, and you let him do it.
And look who's talking. Please stop. People need to just calm down. We're going to have a vote. This is simple stuff. We can do this in like 1 minute. So please, let's let this go for 1 minute. So I have Jack DePalma. William Heerwagon, vote, please.
15 minutes.
I will take that as a no. All right, you want to make it 50, okay, so you're not voting for 4. Noel Jamison.
No.
Pat Logan.
No.
R. Paul Martin. No. Matt Mazza.
Yes.
Okay, Carolyn McIntyre isn't here. Bertold Reimers.
I'm sorry, I am here.
Oh, you are here. Oh, okay. The amendment is to make it 4 minutes. Why do you vote?
Right. I'm voting for the amendment.
Yes. Okay. Bertold Reimers. Bertold? I'll come back to you. Serene Roberts.
No.
James Sagerton. James Sagerton, we can't hear you. Maybe I'm mute. Maria Skelton.
Abstain and thank you.
Abstain. Jeffrey Stern.
No.
Neil Voss. Neil Voss? I'll come back. Michael D.D. White.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any LSB members on the call who are
yes,
not members
D.
already?
Halleck.
Who's this?
D.D. Halleck.
D.D. Halleck. Okay. One second while I put your name in there. Okay, D.D. Halleck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, going back Bertold Reimers.
Abstain.
Okay, abstain. James Sagerton?
No.
No. Neil Voss. Final call for Neil Voss. Okay, no answer. And that's everybody, and it's 4-4, 8 against, 2 abstentions. So the amendment fails. 1 second. Okay, so now the motion on the floor is to extend the time for this item by 15 minutes. Is there any objection to that?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we'll do this again. And let me get this set up here. All right. The motion is to extend the time for this item by 15 minutes. Please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
Can you take another amendment?
No.
No.
I don't
think so.
Well,
I called his name. I called Jack DePalma's name. He hasn't answered yet, but I have called his name and said we were going.
No.
So, okay. And okay, so,
I said no. And
yes,
then I
okay. I hear you. I hear you. Thank you, Jack. To the other member or whoever it was who was asking.
I heard
about
you. It was me. That's fine.
Okay.
You ruled. I'm okay with it.
All right. Yeah. All right. So, Jack DePalma, no. William Heerwagon.
I can have
that. William Heerwagon?
Yeah.
Heerwagon, I think, is a yes, yes. Okay. Noel Jameson.
Yes.
Pat Logan.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Matt Mazza. Okay, what was that? Matt, say again. Matt, I'm not... Okay, I'll come back to you, Matt. Carolyn McIntyre.
No.
Bertold Reimers.
Dan.
Abstain. Serene Roberts.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
Yes.
Maria Skelton.
Abstain, and thank you.
Jeffrey Stern.
Yes.
Neil Voss. Michael D.D. White.
No.
D.D. Halleck.
No.
Okay, going back, Matt Mazza, are you here yet?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
no, I mean,
you're voting.
I vote no.
Oh, so your vote is no. Okay, thank you. Who else? Neil Voss? Okay, the vote is 7-4, 5 against, 2 abstentions. So that fails. It requires a 2/3 vote. Okay, 1 second. So it requires a 2/3 vote, and it got 7-4, 5 against, 2 abstentions. Therefore, we are not extending this. Let me look at the agenda here. Now, someone had projected maybe something other than 15 minutes. Would somebody like to try for that?
I thought I was going to move for 10 minutes.
Okay. Motion is to extend this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none. It's passed without objection, and Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 2049.
Okay.
And so we have 10 minutes. We have 10 minutes now. Okay. Oh, let me go back to my stack here. And hope, and I hope we will discuss I hope we will discuss the budget here. Anita Hawkins.
And again, you can continue to be a clown. Do we force you to reveal the aura so we can forcibly say when you want to be called aura versus whatever?
Point of order, Chair.
Yeah, I understand. You know, I wish this person
please
would just ask a question. I guess she's just going to do this, you know? So
you can't deal with a security issue, my friend. You should step down as chair. But let me get back to being on the stack. It's not funny. Okay, people have security issues. Okay, but Bertho, please answer my question. Even if it's a no, to when we know per Linda that the listenership and membership is disengaged, per Jim Dingman, 75% of the listeners have disappeared in the last 20 years, I believe it is. So do you have some plan as to how to connect with the community and capitalize the financial situation where they're startled because it's 52-week of fundraising? That has to be massaged and rebranded to the community. So if you have no plan, please say that. You might be so burdened with everything. Say that you have no plan. And there are some of us who do want to volunteer, as we heard in terms of reach out, not to take credit card information. I didn't understand her to say that. But to reach out to people who are disengaged and are no longer listeners and members. Please answer the question, even if you have no plan, and whether you're open to getting back to a six-week report to and from the listener. That'll soothe people's soul. That is important. Thank you. And please call me by my correct name.
So I was not paying attention. We are in question and answer, right? So I can answer that, or we already voted on the
question. Go ahead. Go ahead and answer it.
Okay. So, yes, I mean, that was part of my plan, or vision and plan, to reach out to the community. And part of that was rehashing the program, which has been done very well by Linda, I must say. We have brought in a lot of shows that are increasing listenership by a lot more than the shows that have been around. We have Backstage Story, we have Dream Leapers, we have Mindfield, we have Dr. Kokai, a lot of shows that we have been putting in there that are increasing listenership. It is not up to management to reach out to the community, like you are saying. WBAI is a conglomeration of producers. We have over 230 producers and shows. The shows are supposed to represent various communities at WBAI and their interests. And with that said, they are supposed to reach out to the community, or they are supposed to be the community on WBAI, reaching out to the rest of New York City. And the fact that we have a few shows, some shows we have 200 people listening to them, and there's always this argument that you cannot get rid of the show because of its importance, because, like, so if God is talking and no one is listening, is that important? So we always are facing this dilemma at WBAI, you know, and I've always argued that the success or failure of WBAI is not really management. The success is the producer's success, and the failure is the producer's success and failure and management's failure to not get producers that are reaching out to the community. So that is my answer to you. We are revamping programming, working a lot in making them more interesting and removing the ones that are not interesting, which is very controversial. And our listenership has grown. The listenership has been going down for the past 20 years for many reasons, including the advent of social media and all of these different misinformation mediums out there.
And please address specifically report to and from the listener, because a lot of people are disheartened by not knowing what's going on financially that could be capitalized and made digestible for the community. I disagree with you that it's not management's vision. Management is the one that brings in and produces. And there's no posture of when you reschedule, you change a program. I don't even tune in to the morning programs. I'm so confused. I sleep. That's my sleep time. And people need to speak up about report to and from the listener, because when you capitalize the financial danger, you'll get a lot of activity and ideas and ways to move forward. That is key.
Okay. I think the general manager has answered that. Next person is Mario Mastrandrea. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, with the time remaining, is Noel next?
Let me go back.
I yield my time to Noel. I'd like to hear what he has to say.
Okay. First, there is no yielding. Roberts doesn't allow that. So you cannot yield. If you want to not talk, that's okay. Yes.
Okay, 30 seconds here. I need some more clarity about these consultants. Now, consultants are not employees. That means I would like a list of who these consultants are.
Okay. The general manager has sent that out.
Who the consultants are.
All right. Anyway, so the next person is.
So they need to. I need to know who the consultants are, what date.
Okay.
And what.
Yes, we heard that. Yeah. Bertol, did you hear that? Could you send that to Mario?
I sent it already to the group.
Yeah, you said
that.
I guess Mario's not on the list.
That is not what you sent. Move on.
Anyway, next person is indeed Noel Jameson. Noel, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. My question also involves is regarding the consultants and the charges. Earlier, and my apologies for not remembering who brought the point or was trying to make the point as to whether we had reached out to fundraising companies and gotten, bids as to raising money on our behalf. And the answer that I heard, or at least the best way I can describe it, is that we were getting a great return on investment. And I only had the two numbers or two sets of numbers to work by that were referenced, the Christine Blasdale and the Tony Bates. And I guess the answer was, we're getting a great return on investment, 400 and some percent. But I would like to also point out that you can look at it in the contrary manner. We're paying 20 to 25% of the money raised. And when you compare that percentage to other percentages for money raised or money referrals in the financial industry, that seems very high. Now, I haven't worked with a fundraising firm for a nonprofit, but I would say if someone described their real estate broker, and most of the real estate transactions in New York City are much larger than the sums of money that we're talking about here that the consultants dealt with, 6%. People are complaining that 6% is too high. Real stockbrokers, if you do an investment banking deal, you're talking about six
to 10%. So I wouldn't be so quick to say that we're getting a great return on investment, because this seems to be 20 to 25% charge on money raised, and without going out into the community and finding out what other fundraising organizations would offer, it's hard to say that we're getting a great investment.
Okay. All right. So, let me see. I think Noel was the end of the list that I have right here. And
time.
Mr. Timekeeper, what's our time?
Time.
Oh, right now.
Yep.
Okay, time has been called. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. We have to decide if what we're going to do next here. Are we going to vote to bring the budget as the general manager has presented it to the WBAI local station board? Are we going to recommend it? Are we going to just not talk about it anymore? We need to make a decision here. Usually at this time, the main thing we do is make a motion, and either we recommend the budget, the draft budget, to the LSB, or we just say we will bring it without a recommendation. We've done both. We've done each of those things in the past, and we really should do it one way or another, because, you know, that's how it goes. The other option is to do nothing, and at some future point, maybe it'll get, you know, we'll take action on it. But I will point out that other stations are bringing their budgets to the National Finance Committee already. So,
what's your recommendation?
I would recommend bringing the budget, the draft FY22 budget from the general manager to the LSB without a recommendation. And if we make that motion, I will say why and all of that. But first, we need to extend time. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a motion. I'm going to make a motion to extend this item for 10 minutes, okay? And that'll give us 10 minutes. And one second while I write something in here so I can keep track of the meeting. I move to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, that's passed. And I will make a motion that... one second. Sorry, the telephone was so close to the keyboard. And when I'm typing fast, I make typos. I move the local finance committee send the draft FY22 budget to the LSB without a recommendation. Okay? Now, the reason I'm saying that is because we have this deficit. And it has been suggested in the past that it's, you know, it would be good to just have it go there and the LSB can decide overall if it wants to. I mean, once this will be brought to the sent to the LSB, and the LSB members can make a motion to do it. If this motion, as it is, passes, I will simply say, here it is, and I'm sure the general manager will get to make a presentation about the budget and all of that stuff, and then we will, the LSB will decide what to do. For instance, we did this for the FY20 or 21 budget, I forget which one, and the LSB chose not to approve it. And so then it just went on to the National Finance Committee, and that was, you know, it. It was out of our hands. So This would sort of make it that way. And again, the reason why is because we have a big deficit, and it may be best to well, this is kind of political, but we know there are people who are probably going to do another referendum, and if the WBIILSB says we want this, you know, that could be used politically in a referendum fight. They use everything in a referendum fight, even stuff they make up. So that's the motion on the floor. The local finance committee send the draft FY22 budget to the LSB without a recommendation. Any debate on that motion?
Request for information.
Yes.
Would you reiterate, I apologize, I was momentarily distracted. Would you reiterate your reason for not recommending or not offering a recommendation one way or the other?
Okay, yeah. Because the whole world is
because
listening.
Of the deficit.
Basically, it's a deficit. It's a serious six-figure deficit we're passing, and I don't know that the LSB should pass that. Now, the LSB may, but I don't know that the committee should try to push the LSB to vote for the deficit. Okay, you see what I'm saying?
I do, and I'm going to request the stack when you ask for debate. But
okay,
I'll
and I'm
do that when you do.
I'm doing that right now. So you want to be on? Okay. Anybody else on stack? Hearing none. Hearing none. James Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you. I agree with you that this is going to be a problem when we get to the NFC, and if we get through the NFC, when we get to the PNB. Right now, as we've mentioned, the KPFK station is suffering severe deficits, and they are going to be making some dramatic changes. They've already made some dramatic changes there in order to address that deficit, and so I'm concerned that when it gets to around, when we get around to WBAI, a large part of the PNB is going to be in no mood to be generous to WBAI when they weren't to another station. Granted that we have less room to cut, we've been sort of cut to the bone already, and we've been struggling to try and get back on our feet with a minimal skeleton staff, and they have still have room to cut, in my opinion, at KPFK. Nonetheless, we're going to face that difficulty on the NFC. And so my thinking was that we should – Bertel was rather pessimistic in his estimates on revenue. And, again, the expenses are relatively fixed and they're not extreme. There's no real anomalies in the expenses. But he was conservative on revenue. And I'm thinking that perhaps we could have another go-round on the revenue side in the committee, so we could bring it to the LSB with a smaller deficit built into it. And I remember the last time we discussed the revenue, people were asking Bertel to increase the revenue. Usually in this committee, we talk about rose-colored glasses and the general manager is being too easy or liberal with his revenue estimates, which based on some history, and I appreciate that. But I'm just wondering if this time he's been a little too conservative and we might build in more revenue, part of it based on perhaps an opening in the COVID economy, you know, especially as the months wear on in the year. That's all. Thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else for STAC to debate this motion?
My address is STAC, please. I appreciate.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there seems to be some logic right about the conservatism of the general GM, even if there's an out for him to reach out to the community. He chooses the producers without input, and now it's all on the producers. That is nonsensical. So I partly agree with Jim, but as to COVID, we're going into the cold months now. It's going to get worse. We need to wake up, demand that the GM is not that scary. It's 6 weeks starting immediately. There should have been two more debates if people aren't voting. You're disengaged. You even have specialists who know how to engage the community, and we can't connect.
Can I make a comment on the stack?
Time.
Done.
Okay.
Move to extend for 5 minutes.
All right. Is motion to extend for 5 minutes?
Okay.
Motion to extend for 5 minutes. Extend this item for 5 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, pass without objection. Okay, let me simply say here that yes, I agree with my motion. I think we should pass it. I think it'll get dealt with at some point. At no point will the general manager come up with enough money anyhow to make it not a six-figure deficit. And I agree about, you know, the big thing that's happening with KPFK and how that's going to echo down toward us. I will point out that at a recent NFC meeting, someone from KPFA was going on about WBAI and how it was, you know, in such deficit and all this. So people know about this, and it's there. But anyway, I've made a motion. Any further debate on this motion?
I'll ask for the stack
after anyone else who needs it.
Did I hear Jack DePalma?
Yes, sir.
Okay, anybody else? And then Sagerton again. Anybody else? Okay, Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll be quick. You have to remember that we got money from the federal government. Those two PPP loans helped us. And you call it money from the sky. I don't think the sky is going to give it to us next year. Hopefully we'll get the Corporation for Public Broadcasting money again, but that depends upon other things. And we're not going to be paying that extra retroactive addition to the union workers. So maybe I agree with you, Paul. I think the recommendation and the issues about being deficit are big and loom. I think they've got other things to worry about with California issues. And I would just say I agree with you, Bert. I agree with you, Paul, and I think these things do have to be and should be resolved or fleshed out or debated or discussed or brought forward or at least recognized. Thank you.
Okay, the next person I have in the stack is James Sagerton. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm conflicted about this. I don't have a hard and fast position on this. I will like to say to Jack that, I guess the previous speaker, I should say, not to name him,
it's okay.
That we do have some potential revenue coming down the pike. We have an economic injury disaster loan, a so-called EIDL loan. We don't know if we'll get it. We are very hopeful that we may get it. It's a low-interest loan over a 30-year term. But it would be very easy for us just to continue on the way we are and spend that money very quickly, and then that would just be another debt if we don't use it to fix our problems. But the problem I'm trying to deal with now is where would be the best place to debate this, and I think it might be in the committee. However, I recognize the exigencies of time. We need to move this budget to get it to the NFC. We will have time at the LSB to review it and to make changes there, and I can make my arguments about improving revenue in front of the LSB just as well as here. Just sometimes these things are easier to do in a smaller committee. I'm going to say I'm okay with moving it on because we will have at least another two chances to change it, one before the LSB and another before the NFC, and then finally actually three before the PNB. So I'm okay with moving it on. I was just thinking about that revenue question. I'd like the general manager maybe to work on some numbers to expand the revenue so when we get to the LSB, we would have that available.
Stack, CDL.
Okay.
Get 30 seconds for my ad, please.
Anybody else?
Active.
Anybody who hasn't spoken.
Well, that's all.
Well, Bertold wants to. Bertold, go ahead. And I hear D.D. Halleck. I don't think we're going to get the time here.
Well, and just quickly, so D.D. can speak. We are making a lot more money than we expected in theater tickets, and it's not just coming from David Rothenberg. It's also coming from Backstage Story and from Harriet Cole. And I'm working with Consabo Latino and the Lehman College to have a few more event tickets available. So this is a potential, but I just don't want to have that. Actually, even also SOBs that used to give us the space for two or three times a year, we thought they were going to shut down. They are open. So, you know, there are good potentials, but we should not put that in the budget.
Okay. D.D. Halleck.
Yes, I think it's important to bring this up at the LSC because I think it's very important that all of the producers do their part in helping to raise money and try to get their guests to have premiums that can be bring in funds. It's not fair that they think they don't have that responsibility. And I think people should understand that it is a problem and that everybody has to push. And I think by discussing this, it's important to impress upon people the need to really try to use this 52-week schedule only works if everyone pushes.
Time.
Okay, time has been called, and it's not only the time for the item, it's the time for the meeting. All right. What happens now is we can either have a motion to extend the meeting, or we can have not have one, and then we have to go to an immediate vote on the motion on the floor about the budget. So if somebody wants to make a motion to extend the time for the item and the meeting, they need to make it right now. I don't hear one. At that point, we are going to go to a vote on the motion, which I'm trying to find. The motion is that the local finance committee send the draft FY22 budget to the LSB without a recommendation. Is there any objection to that?
No.
Hearing none, that's passed without objection. Now we have – now we're out of time. So
we have to get a meeting date, right? Don't we, our poll?
Well, somebody's going to need to make a motion to extend, which is why I mentioned that before.
Then it's for meeting date.
Okay, so De Palma. One second.
Okay.
I move that we extend 2 minutes to arrange another meeting date of the committee.
Wow, that's going to be fast. Okay. Okay, the motion is to extend the time for the meeting by 2 minutes to get to the next item, which is set next meeting date. And, of course, this is an extension. It's non-debatable. Is there any objection to the motion to extend? Hearing none. Done, and okay, I make it 21:19, Mr.
Yes.
Timekeeper.
Yes.
And okay. So, okay, next is set next meeting date, and I'll make a motion on that. I move that we meet, and where is... I just closed everything. And I move we meet next November 17th. So that's what I'm moving that we do. I move that we meet next on November 17th at 7 p.m. Okay, is there any debate on that? Hearing none, is there any objection to meeting on November 17th at 7 p.m.?
Thank you.
Is there any debate? Any objection, rather? Hearing none, it's passed. And Mr. Timekeeper, I think we're about out, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Okay, time is up, and unless somebody wants to extend, which I don't think we could really do much, I don't hear an extension. Therefore, we've run out of everything. We've run out of time. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for attending.